Those of the individual speakers and callers and do not necessarily represent the views of KFAR Radio or any of our respective employees, affiliates, or sponsors of this program.
Problems, problems, problems all day long. Will my problems work out right or wrong? My baby.
Good morning, Fairbanks. You are listening to KFAR Radio. We're at 660 on the AM dial, 97.5 on the FM dial, and we live stream at kfarradio.com. This is Problem Corner. I'm your host, David Pruse. If you have a question or want to call in to talk to our guests today, we're at 907-458-TALK. That's 907-458-8255. And today, do I have a treat for you. It's supposed to be last week, but the Anchorage aspect thought we would do it this week and make it better. And I agreed with them. So what we have is we have the manager of the Fairbanks International Airport, Angie Spears. Say hello.
Hi. Thank you for having me.
And we have the manager of the Anchorage International Airport, Craig Campbell. How are you doing, sir?
Doing really good. Glad to be here.
Yeah, so, boy, between the two of you, I would say you cover about 90% of all flight traffic coming into Alaska?
That's correct. We're pretty proud of that.
Angie, how long have you been doing this?
So I've been at the airport almost 18 years.
Oh, you newbie. Where did you start at?
So I started in Fairbanks or at the airport?
With the airport system.
So I started in communications and air service development. So my whole goal was to bring in additional air service to the community, both international and domestic. So it was a pretty tall order.
Yes. Where are you at now with that goal?
So we are continuing to aggressively pursue air service. We obviously work with our sister airport, Anchorage, because there is definitely strength in numbers. And we watch all the flights that are coming into Anchorage. If it's successful in Anchorage, then we look at the metrics for Fairbanks. And we work together very aggressively to pursue. And we're working on international flights right now. That's kind of our focus post-pandemic, because most of those flights obviously stopped during the COVID pandemic, and so our goal is to get those flights back, whether it's the charters on Japan or Korean Airlines to see the Aurora or to come for the fall, or whether it's additional scheduled service like expanding cargo or looking at Eurowings or Lufthansa or some of the other carriers that are serving Anchorage.
I remember about 4 or 5 years ago, you had a couple flights come in, 747s for JAL. Just Japanese were all over the town in March. You know, we're all looking around, what the heck's going on here? And you were the reason.
Well, not just myself. There were several other community members. We had Explore Fairbanks. We had Bernie at Chena Hot Springs was a big partner. Dave Carlstrom, who was my predecessor in air service development. And then, yes, I worked really hard to expand those. When I started, the first year I was there, we had 5 flights. And at the pandemic time, we were at our peak at 24. So.
Wow. Craig, how long have you been with the Anchorage International Airport?
That's not a fair question. I'm a migrant government worker, and everybody knows
newbie.
That. 14 months. 14 months.
Well, you've got a hot system down there. What are you, the number 2 or 3 cargo tonnage airport in the world?
We are. We're the number 3 cargo. The 2 airports ahead of us are Memphis is number 2 and
FedEx.
Hong Kong. Yeah, FedEx from Memphis, clearly. Yeah, they have a big operation there.
Yeah, it's interesting how FedEx expanded up here.
It is. A great decision. When the Japanese opened up the airspace for cargo flights back in the 80s, UPS and FedEx both jumped on it. And sure enough, both of them are hubbed now out of Anchorage because we are geographically the right spot to be between North America and Asia.
Do you find that your Fairbanks, we have a lot of passenger declining and then increasing, you know, seasonally. Do you find that with your passenger service up in Anchorage?
No, we do. We all face the same summer cycle of the tourists coming in.
I like to travel down to Anchorage, you know, after October and before May because, you know, my TSA line wait is minimal.
Yeah, it's a big difference. But, you know, part of the success of Anchorage is really being aligned with Fairbanks. And this is an Alaska International Airport system. Mm-hmm. And part of our success when we were able to get stuff to Anchorage is because we're able to tell everybody, the companies that we're marketing to, that we have Fairbanks as part of our system, and they're a good place for a diversion. They're a good place to look at expanded services. And so Angie and I are going to be doing a lot more of that marketing together to try to get the carriers to understand it's an Alaska market. It's not just an Anchorage market. It's us, the whole state.
Do you find that when you present that, it's receptive?
Yes. Yeah, in fact, Angie can speak best to it because it happened this winter, but we had a lot of snow in Anchorage. A lot of diversions were required. And I
felt sorry for your mayor.
And the airport stayed open, though.
Yes,
we're state-owned, by the way.
There's a difference between the Anchorage International and Anchorage Town of.
We managed to keep our runways open. However, we got so backed up on the apron area. Planes were parked and covered with snow. The crew changes were delayed. Fairbanks was absolutely essential for us to be able to have diverts. Atlas had a bunch of flights come up. I can't remember the rest of them, Angie.
Yeah, we had 26 flights in December.
Wow.
So we were able to handle all of those. We have wonderful ground handling team here. We have great fuelers. Everyone steps up, and we were able to do it seamlessly. And that's our goal. We don't want them to experience any sort of service decline if they're coming to Fairbanks, whether it's for diversion or whether we're trying to court them for expanded service that maybe fits better in our market. So our goal is to be the best possible support system and operate as a system. And I think we proved that, especially during the challenges we faced in December.
You know, it's very telling with the amount of snow that you got in Anchorage, Craig, that would delay flights because, if you're in Alaska, you're made for snow removal. You're made for that weather inclementation. And I was down there, at the first part of December, and I made the best decision I made. I was supposed to come out on the 8 o'clock flight to Fairbanks on a Thursday, and I came out on the 2 o'clock flight. And everything after that was canceled.
Yeah, good decision.
I'm trying to walk down the street, and there's no sidewalk.
Right.
I said, I'm going to get out of here as early as I can, and so that's very telling because I'm sure you have all the equipment that you could ever possibly want, but you just cannot ever calculate what the weather's going to throw at you in a 24-hour period.
You can't, and part of the problem we had this past winter was staffing. Coming out of the pandemic, both at Fairbanks and Anchorage have lost a lot of people. Our staffing levels were down, and for the heavy equipment operators to do the snow removal, we were down about 30% as we started the winter. But we provided a mission-critical incentive pay program that gave them a 30% increase for staying with us and joining us for the heavy equipment snow removal, brought us up to 90%. And that's probably the only way we would have made it through that winter and keep the runways open. We had to have those staffing people.
Good way to do it. Did you experience any of that, Angie, up here?
We did. So we have struggled with staffing in many components, and our field and equipment operators are no exception. Our problem was our mission critical incentive pay was a bit delayed. And so our operators are still waiting to get that pay, although now it has been approved. So we didn't have that same bump early on that Anchorage did, so we started to see attrition throughout the winter.
Come on, Governor Dunleavy, get it together. Get your, administration going here.
Now, David.
Hey,
It's not the governor's issue. It's Angie's and mine. We need to, as we've learned, we need to make sure that we're presenting ourselves as a case as a system. Because if the world looks at us as two separate airports, they treat us separately.
Mm-hmm.
But in fact, we operate together, and we need to be considered in decisions that are made as a system. And that's why we're here. We want to make sure everybody understands it's a new world. It's a time when Fairbanks and Anchorage have to partner, and that's the only way we're going to be successful to expand our business in Alaska.
Yep.
Fairbanks, we're going to take a quick commercial break. You're listening to KFAR Radio. Again, we're at 907-458-TALK, 907-458-8255. I have Angie Spears and Craig Campbell, both managers of Anchorage International and Fairbanks International Airports, in the studio with me. We'll be back after these messages.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com. Did you miss your favorite local show on KFAR Radio? Just log on to our website, kfarradio.com, and click the Archives tab to find all past episodes of shows like Problem Corner, Health Talk, Fairbanks Foodies, Alaska Realty Today, Shooter's Corner, and the Compos Outdoor Show. Hours of entertaining, informative, local programs produced exclusively for KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM and 660 AM. Online at kfarradio.com. We are KFAR, the heartbeats of Alaska.
Weather brought to you by GCR. Maintaining your correct tire pressure improves safety, fuel economy, and tire life. Drop by the Tire Guys for free tire inflation. GCR Tires and Service, taming the Alaskan road. Van Horn at Cushman.
KFAR weather.
Sunny skies and calm today with highs around 69. South winds around 5 miles per hour. Tonight, lows dip down to about 47. High of 69 tomorrow. Mid-60s Thursday, cooler Friday with highs in the upper 50s and showers. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. David Pruse in the studio here. Now, Angie, you have a unique airport, the East Ramp. Let's talk about the East Ramp. That seems to be the local carrier service to outlying villages.
So our East Ramp community is really diverse. You're correct. We do have a lot of the commuter service, you know, with Wrights and Warblows and some other small carriers over there that serve all of our interior villages and communities. But then we also have a robust general aviation community. We have several hundred tie-down spaces between our paved spaces as well as our float pond spaces. Those are very popular. Mm-hmm. And it's a very passionate community. In addition, we have the UAF CTC program that's there. So we have a lot of activity on that side. And we have an air park. So I don't know if everyone knows about that, but it's an amazing facility where you can actually bring your plane in and camp under the wing. So we have a lot of transient spaces for visiting pilots. So yeah, we have a very, very vibrant community on the East Ramp.
Craig, what's it like having the largest float plane facility in the world under your operation?
Very busy in the summertime.
Oh, that's being polite.
It's a fantastic operation at Lake Hood. We are the busiest float plane facility summertime. In fact, our ice just broke up last week, beginning of the week. Float planes just as soon as the ice broke,
gone.
Float planes in the water, ready to go. It's busy. I actually have an individual that works for me separately as the airport manager for Lake Hood. Yeah, he's in the operations side, but that's such an intense operation. We have a person dedicated over there to manage that.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yep.
You know, that's, on the international side, both Angie and Craig, you deal with captains with three bars, you know, 20 years service. On the float plane side, you're not dealing with that at all. A whole different mentality's coming in.
Very passionate about their job of flying those planes, you know, and it's fun to work with them.
I would say you're quite apropos with that. What the heck. Expansion out of Fairbanks, Angie, what are you looking at?
So we're looking at expansion on a lot of fronts. We are working on land development. We've actually leased the vast majority of our airside land, both on the east and the west side. On the East Ramp, we received a lot of feedback from our small GA users that wanted smaller lots where they could develop single hangars. So we opened up 14 new lots, which are called Block 99. And those lots range from $1,900 to about $2,400 to lease a year. So it's super affordable. So we're trying to meet every different demographic that we serve, you know, from the individual pilots to those that want to build T-hangers to those that want to do large-scale warehouse and other development that is related to aviation.
So your land lease is $150 to $200 a month. That's it?
No, so our land lease is, yeah, roughly. That's exactly what it is.
Mm-hmm. My goodness. Do you do anything like that out there at yours, or is yours a little bit more expensive?
No, we're not much more expensive. We're part of the state system, and so we have common rates, which does add a little friction when you get to the city and Merrill Field and kind of the competition between the two airports, especially in the general aviation side.
How is Merrill Field doing?
Very good. Yeah, they've done a lot of expansion and improvements, as you've seen over the years, and I think it's a good operation right now. The Mayor Bronson had wanted to extend the runway a little bit, maybe put in an instrument approach. Not sure that's going to happen at this time, airspace issues and all, but he is definitely focused on trying to increase and improve the services out of Merrill Field.
You know, when I lived in Anchorage, I always enjoyed Merrill Field because it's just right there off the main drag coming into Anchorage. And the planes you'd see coming in, it's just, there was one time I was living in this apartment complex off of old New Seward and 16th, and we had a little plane crash. they took off from Merrill Field and didn't quite make it, and he put it right down as a person who was an instructor, and he did everything right, you know, in when you lose power, and he brought it right down on the off ramp, and everyone walked away, and you know what the heck? How do you explain that one when you wake up in the morning? Okay, there's a plane in the driveway. Only in Anchorage.
With the pilot that walked away safely,
yeah.
Right? Okay, yes. That's the skill of a pilot.
Who were some, Craig, who were some of your main carriers on the cargo side?
We obviously have FedEx and UPS as major players in Anchorage. Atlas Air, which bought Polar a while back, is a strong contender now for lead positions in Anchorage. They're doing a lot of flights in and out of Anchorage, both the Polar and the Atlas Air. And Atlas Air, in fact, is looking to expand to have some area for their dedicated parking for their aircraft because UPS is expanding. And with all this expansion, each carrier's mind makes sure they have sufficient hard stands, parking positions, and geographical areas to operate. So Atlas is going to be growing in Anchorage.
How about in Fairbanks, Andrew? What are you looking at? Who are some of your large cargo carriers?
So we don't have any scheduled cargo besides Amazon. Mm-hmm. We do see a daily flight that comes from Oregon on Amazon Air, and that's been wildly popular, actually. And we're hoping to expand the size of the aircraft. So currently it's a 737, but we're hoping to expand to maybe a 767. And then we're looking at cargo opportunities always. We work with Anchorage to see maybe, you know, those that have longer ground time, et cetera, you know, that want to be on the ramp for, let's say, a day. You know, Anchorage could turn over that same parking spot four times. And if, you know, whereas you have one carrier that stays for 24 hours, you know, that takes up a lot of potential revenue, and they're incredibly busy. So we're looking at some where they might fit better in Fairbanks.
And that's part of our marketing strategy, David. We're proposing that together Anchorage and Fairbanks target more of these cargo carriers. Remember, Lufthansa Air Cargo, Air France Air Cargo used to operate here. Cargolux operated out of here. Long time ago, Japan Airlines did too. We want to get back and focus that it's a system, and that for certain needs, you can be served better in Fairbanks than you can in Anchorage, because we're looking really to develop more of the FedEx, UPS, Atlas, big complexes for major carriers. But the ones that are coming in just for gas, just for a stop, really aren't going to do a lot of transshipment. This place is perfect for those type of carriers. And so we're going to be marketing that this next year.
Okay. You have Alaska Airlines coming here. You know, I was looking at Boeing, and they don't make the 747 anymore. And I'm sure in Anchorage, y'all know about Fairbanks, but your jetways are geared for a specific style plane, basically a Boeing. Are you looking if they're doing the MD whatevers, you know, the other ones? Are you looking to have to reconfigure your jetways to accommodate these things?
So we have flexibility in our gates 5 and 6 jetways for larger sized aircraft. That's what they were designed for when we rebuilt the terminal. But the remaining gates are no more for your narrow body aircraft. And I will say we are seeing some service expansion. David, I wanted to share that with you.
Okay.
United. So we got a lot of feedback because the cruise industry is back. And obviously they've extended their season this year and they're predicting record numbers. So we approached United and asked them if they would extend their season. So they're giving us 2 weeks in September. They were not originally planned, so they announced that last week. We're really excited. And Delta is going to attempt to have 2 year-round Seattle flights.
Year-round?
Year-round.
That is nice.
We're very excited.
That is nice. How's, you know, when you're looking at your passenger, have you seen growth over the last, you know, you say from 2015 to 2023, and you take the COVID 2 years out of it, have you seen a progressive growth? In Fairbanks?
Yes.
Of this passenger?
Yes. We've seen between 2 and 4% if you take out the pandemic, when obviously kind of the bottom fell out for everybody.
Yeah. How's Anchorage looking at that with that, Craig?
Actually, just did the count for the first 2 weeks in May, and we're up by about 1% over 2019. 83,000 now, 82,000 back in 2019. We see it getting stronger during the summer.
You know, Craig, I hate to bring this up, but I will. In your concourses, you're always losing businesses in there, for whatever reason. How is your rental services there for different businesses?
You know, you're picking up a proper topic to talk about, because I've been very frustrated. with some of the services. So we've changed some of the concessionaires in the terminal, and if you go by today, you'll see that it used to be the Humpies by the Sea Concourse in the main area.
Yeah.
It's all blocked off now. We got 49th State Brewery that's going to open up right across from Silver Gulch, and I think that's great.
That's a great combination, yeah.
Yeah, we're going to have a Fairbanks company, we're going to have an Anchorage company, we're going to provide Alaska services, and we're looking at another change later on that may be able to bring in some Juneau or some other Alaska type of variety, because we believe that when you land at the airport, that's your first experience for Alaska as a tourist. And when you leave, that's your last experience. We want them to feel Alaska when they arrive and when they leave.
You know, I always enjoyed Humpies when I lived in Anchorage, you know, a millennia ago, and played softball for them. And so when I saw them out there, I thought that was good. But then I thought, this is going to be a hard one for them. This is not what they do. They do not, you know, this is not what they do.
And they did it through a national chain. It was HMS Host, so it didn't give them as much flexibility as they had downtown. And the service, the pandemic really hurt HMS Host. They were having a tough time hiring people, and we all understand that. But we now have an opportunity with 49th State Brewery to bring in a different variety that I think will help. And we're still having the Humpies out at B Concourse, so they're staying out there at the far end.
Okay. I'll have to venture out there next time I'm in Anchorage. But I'm usually up in whatever. Usually up at the
You're at the lounge. Huh?
Yeah, at the lounge.
They're expanding, by the way.
Oh, that's good.
About a 40% increase in space by the next year.
Oh my goodness. Okay, now Angie, out at Fairbanks, you have a bar and you have a coffee shack that seems to do well for everyone with some food.
We sure do. So, as Craig said, there were a few things that we looked at as well. So the pandemic was rough. We have HMS Host that was the primary operator for the restaurant, and they used to operate Starbucks. And you'll notice that we switched to local operator North Pole Coffee. And part of that was we met with Host and we said something needs to change, and we need something more Alaskan with a more Alaskan feel. And what's more Alaskan than North Pole Coffee?
Tom knows how to get things done.
He absolutely does.
And great guy to work with.
Oh, and he has the best team of employees.
Yeah.
And they were able to immediately come in and staff where HMS Coast couldn't get the staff to keep Starbucks open even part-time. So Tom was a lifesaver.
When he bought that company, there was 3 employees, including himself, when he bought it. Now he's got about 40, 45. And just, I've never found anyone who does not like working with Tom. Just a great guy. Just a great guy. But, so you got the right coffee company out there now. That's good to hear.
We sure do. And we had an RFP for our news and gift. So we received several offers, and Twigs was the successful offerer. And we love Twigs. Twigs has been in the airport for well over 25 years, and they do a great business, and they really work and flex with the needs of our passengers. Even when we have diversions, like military diversion, they'll go get baby diapers if there's families that are in need. Absolutely. So we were thrilled to see Twigs remain in the airport.
That's great. Your expansion out there, your plans, you know, we talked a little bit about the East Ramp. How about on the West Side?
So all of our West Side land is primarily, it's been leased. Mm-hmm. I think we have one lot available. So obviously we'd like to see somebody come in and maybe do some sort of a warehouse or, you know, operation that would support cargo, which would help us in our marketing efforts. We have been working with DNR and BLM on a potential relocation of both of their operations. DNR would be a West Side operation. BLM would be an East Side operation. So that would get them off of Fort Wainwright and bring them onto the International Airport, which they have some operators there that are based at FAI that support those services. So it would kind of be, it makes a lot of operational sense for them.
Okay. Everett's Air, how much cargo do they do out of Fairbanks?
So Everett's Air does primarily cargo to interior villages, mostly fuel and other various supplies. Mm-hmm. But I would say they make up the lion's share of the cargo that's coming out of FAI for sure.
How about Anchorage?
Everett's is definitely growing. They've got a lot, big operation down there. They're using primarily their DC-9 and MD-80s.
Yeah.
But I see them constantly day in and day out.
They have about 250 employees right now, according to Rob. And he's just expanding and expanding. He just sees opportunities.
It's an amazing company. Yeah. I got up here this morning, and there's a BAE 146 on his ramp. I mean, he's buying everything he can find on the market that'll work in Alaska. It's amazing.
That's Rob. What the heck? Excuse me. I'm still recovering, Fairbanks, from this thing that I got. Well, we got a phone call we're going to take. But actually, we're not going to take the phone call because we're going into our break at the, we're going to take a break for the Fox News, some state news, some weather, some commercials. And our bumper music today is Pat Benatar, Hit Me With Your Best Shot. So obviously this was Melissa Burnett, Rock Candy. She's more of the 80s rock, whereas Glenner, he's more of that psychedelic funkability stuff. I don't get to control this, but you got to listen to it. Here we go.
Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Fox News alert as we can now confirm Florida Governor Ron DeSantis is going to be entering the 2024 White House race, and we know how he'll do it. Now, normally when you think of a presidential candidacy announcement, you get a big crowd together, make that big announcement over the microphone. We saw it from Republican Senator Tim Scott just yesterday. But now DeSantis actually is planning to sit down with Elon Musk on Twitter. This also is scheduled 6 p.m. Eastern tomorrow night. Those two will have a conversation, and that is when DeSantis is expected to confirm that he is, in fact, running for president. There's been a lot of fighting between the Trump and DeSantis campaign lately, and you better believe that's only going to increase on the news that, again, Republican Governor Ron DeSantis of Florida will officially declare his candidacy for the 2024 White House tomorrow on Twitter. America's listening to Fox News.
It's time for your Alaska News Minute.
A man walking on tidal mudflats with friends in an Alaska estuary got stuck up to his waist in the quicksand like silt and drowned as the tide came in before frantic rescuers could extract him. Authorities say 20-year-old Zachary Porter of Lake Bluff, Illinois, was submerged Sunday evening as the tide came in. His body was recovered on Monday. The accident was the latest tragedy at Turnagain Arm, a 48-mile-long glacier-carved estuary that travels southeast from Anchorage. The estuary's dangerous mudflats have claimed at least three other lives over the years, and many more have been rescued. At low tide, the estuary is known for its dangerous mudflats made of silt created by glacier pulverized rocks. The accident occurred near the community of Hope, a quaint community of about 80 people. It lies across Turnagain Arm, just 22 miles, but a 90-minute drive from Anchorage. When the tide comes back in, the silt gets wet from the bottom, it loosens up, and can create a vacuum if a person walks on it. Signs are posted to stay off the mudflats.
Online at KFAR660.com.
The Kendall Spring Sales Event is on now at Kendall Subaru of Fairbanks. New shipments are coming in all the time, and our inventory is constantly changing. Stop by and check out the selection and the spring deals. Around here, you have adventure in every direction. And there's no better way to get out there than in a brand new all-wheel drive Subaru. With all kinds of reviews and awards for quality, safety, and trust, you know that a Subaru holds its value. With tons of fantastic customer reviews about a great buying experience at Kendall, we can help you dial in the perfect Subaru for all your upcoming adventures. If you're thinking about trading up, it's the perfect time to get the best value for your trade. Whether you own a Subaru or any other kind of vehicle, we want your car, any make, any model. Stop by. We'll do a quick appraisal and give you an offer right there on the spot. Don't miss the Kendall Spring Sales Event on now at Kendall Subaru of Fairbanks. Stop by today and see what's new in our inventory or get started at SubaruFairbanks.com. Kendall, let's start something great.
Your miraculous eyes bring your life into focus. Protect your eyes. Reach out to ophthalmologist Dr. Ronald Zamber, accepting new patients at the Eye Clinic of Fairbanks. With 30 years of experience, he provides a vast level of expertise to his patients in Alaska and around the world. Receive the most compassionate and globally experienced eye care in Alaska from ophthalmologist Dr. Ronald Zamber and his exceptional team of optometrists. Contact the Eye Clinic of Fairbanks on Mini Street. Visit eyeclinicoffairbanks.com.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. I have Angie Spear, the manager of Fairbanks International Airport, and Craig Campbell, the manager of the Anchorage International Airport, in the studio with me here. We're at 907-458-TALK, 907-458-8255, if you want to call in with a question. Angie, dispatch. You brought me when I went through, when you gave me the tour of Fairbanks International Airport. You know, you showed me dispatch, you showed me police, you showed me fire. Very impressive. If you don't have a difference between an employee, they work both police and fire, it seemed like.
That's correct.
And then your dispatch, you also work with Anchorage.
We do. So one of the things that Craig and I have worked really hard to do is unite our two airports. Sure, we say we're a system, but we wanted to function like a system, like one entity. So Craig had some staffing issues earlier this year, and he was getting to a critical level. So they were able to install the Anchorage dispatch system. It's a CAD-based system at the Fairbanks Dispatch Center, and our dispatchers were able to dispatch for both Anchorage and for Fairbanks simultaneously.
Yeah, at the City of Fairbanks, we have dispatch for, you know, 20 different communities. So you just get the right program in there and the right people, and you can do it. So good for you. How'd that help you, Craig?
We needed it because we could not function 24/7 with only four dispatchers. They were doing 12 hours on, 12 hours off constantly. It was burning people out. So it helped us get some relief in Anchorage so we could get the recruiting available. We've hired four more dispatchers now. We're smoothing out. But we wouldn't have made it through the winter properly if Fairbanks hadn't been available to us. And while dispatch can be a lot of multi-agencies like you do up here, and we have it in Anchorage too with some multiple stuff, but for the airports, we had not been operating that way. And that's the part we're trying to change, is there are a lot of common systems and functions that we should be doing the same and be able to share and work together.
Commonalities.
Yep.
Excuse me. Still recovering, but what the heck. Do you find, Craig, that in your seasonal traffic control or cargo, you have a seasonal passenger? Do you have a seasonal cargo?
Cargo stays pretty consistent, and because we're of our location between Asia and North America, it's really dependent upon the economies of Asia and North America. So right now, we're actually seeing a slump in cargo. I'm not sure whether it's just the recession or whether it's the recession identified with some of the changes in what the U.S. is doing on buying Chinese commodities, but we're down about 10% right now from cargo of a year ago.
That's significant.
Yeah, it is. But it's not half as bad as what the world is feeling. Globally, yeah. Air cargo is down 28% between Asia and North America.
Wow.
So what's happening is the carriers are taking off the long-haul nonstops because they use a lot of gas, and they're putting their cargo on planes that have less gas and use Alaska to stop over.
Good for you.
Well, it just works. Yeah, and you know, you talked earlier about we're being number three in air cargo. I got to confess to the Fairbanks audience, we're number three only because Shanghai lost more traffic than we did.
Oh, darn Shanghai. Do you see growth coming back?
Yeah, we do. And it's gone through recessions. FedEx has announced that, you know, they're concerned a little bit. They're changing some of their fleet structure. They're going to retire some of their MD-11s. They're going to change some of the base in Anchorage for the pilots. But it goes up and down, and what I don't see is a long-term impact that's going to hurt Anchorage or Alaska as far as serving the market of air cargo between Asia and North America. It'll go up a little bit. As right now, it's going down a little bit as the recession eases itself, inflation comes down, and we start normalizing more of our commodity shares between trade of China and North America, Alaska will benefit.
Angie, you said that, you know, you have Alaska Airlines and you also have United and Delta coming in. Delta is going to be giving two Seattle flights a day permanently. Is United doing anything like that?
So United expanded the summer service two additional weeks. We're working with them, trying to get them to consider serving us year-round. So we would love to see Chicago become a year-round flight.
Do you ever get a, you know, the outlier company that brings in just like one flight a day during the summer?
So we have Condor, who's served the airport for well over 20 years. They obviously left during the pandemic, but they came back last year, and they're back this season as well, and they come once a week on Thursdays. So it's Frankfurt, Anchorage, Fairbanks, Frankfurt.
Okay. What the heck?
It's the international market has changed, especially on the charter side. You know, we're Fairbanks and Anchorage are both getting Condor, but we used to get Iceland Air.
Yeah.
And Iceland Air hasn't been with us since pre-pandemic. And the word I get is they're still considering Alaska, but it probably won't be till 2025, which tells me maybe they're not.
What do you think happened there?
They're going through a fleet change. They're getting rid of the 757s. They're getting a lot of 737 Maxes and I think the Airbus 321s. So they're looking at, with the new type of planes they're flying, what is the optimum way to make revenues with them. And Anchorage may be a stretch too far.
There you go. Angie, where do you see Fairbanks coming into the passenger growth rate?
So I think we're going to fall back in line pretty close with what we were pre-pandemic, which is between 2% and 4% increase. Obviously, I would like to see United expand and add Denver back. Mm-hmm. I would like to see American Airlines come back in. They tried to do an expansion, you know, the first year of the pandemic, and there were no cruises to support that, and there weren't enough rental cars and other things, you know, currently available. We just weren't ready. We're ready now. And so I would like to bring American back, and I would like to see further expansion from United. I would also like to see Delta give us another Minneapolis flight, and I would like to see Portland come back on Alaska Airlines. So I've got a pretty big wish list.
Whatever happened to Northwest Orient?
Delta Airlines. Delta Airlines acquired them, yeah. So Western went the same way. So yeah. The carriers we used to have, they're basically it's Delta today.
Boy.
You know, Angie raises a point that I think is of value. We had COVID, and it went on a long time, so everybody's idea of travel changed. Mm-hmm. It's back now, and it's back big time. The carriers are charging a lot of money and filling their planes. Alaska's a very popular destination. And one of the things that we're pushing now is that Angie and I are making sure that the marketing for our airports and for Alaska is done together. We've increased our travel to be able to go meet with more carriers. Part of what happened in February is we went and met with Korean Air. They are going to do 5 charter flights this summer into Anchorage. We think that's just the beginning. If we can get 5 charters from Korean Air into Anchorage in the summer, maybe we can now go to Japan and get Japan Airlines back up here in Fairbanks in the winter and start expanding that charter market to eventually get some scheduled market. But it's going to take some aggressive actions. We got to be out there marketing this to make it work.
What's your combined marketing budget?
Oh, yeah. I don't know.
Why don't we just take a phone call then?
That's always a good answer.
There we go. Yeah. Well, that's a good answer. Here we go. Good morning. You're on KFAR. Oh, we lost that person. Darn it. That's all my fault. Sorry.
They hung up
just a little bit too fast before I got to them. So hopefully they'll call back. But where are some of the areas that you're marketing your airports at?
Well, primarily it's Asia. For the internationals, we do still want to get Iceland Air back or some. We actually did get Eurowings Discovery into Anchorage last year, and they're going to be here this year as well, 3 flights a week. So a little bit of Europe, but we really have a void in Asia. So that's where we're going to spend our international time trying to market for the passenger stuff. For the domestic stuff, Angie's got it exactly right. We should be able to bolster the Fairbanks market more. There should be more of a understanding that Fairbanks and Anchorage are both great destinations, and you can come and do both, and so therefore you have to have service to both.
Okay.
Well, and one of my key marketing techniques is to watch the Anchorage service. When they get new service and new routes, I track those aggressively, because if they are successful in Anchorage, then I've got a much greater pitch when I pitch them to serve Fairbanks. Well, look how great you did. Let me show you how it's going to work the same here.
There you go. You know, you're never done marketing.
Right on.
You're repackaging and substituting the more services you can provide.
And what we find is we change, but so do the carriers.
Yeah.
So if you go and miss 3 or 4 years, you go back different players. They may not understand what the previous player understood about the values of Alaska. So it's very important that you make those engagements.
Re-education.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Fairbanks, we're gonna take a phone call. Good morning. You're on KFAR Radio, and your name is?
Hi. Good morning. This is Melody, and I had a question about the Fairbanks International Airport.
Okay.
So I've noticed a lot of military jets, and not the fighters, but like cargo. Are those passenger jets, or is it cargo? They're like they're landing at the international airport here in Fairbanks. So are we getting our share of immigrants, or does anybody know anything about that?
So, hi, Melanie. This is Angie. I can try to answer that question for you. So we have been seeing a lot of military activity at the airport. Some of it is simply training and touch and goes, where they're just coming and they're touching down on the runway and they're taking off again. Just flying pattern flights basically in the area. We do see some military passenger flights that come in. Those have always come through Fairbanks. They're families that are either transiting in or out. We also see cargo, especially since the unrest in Ukraine. There have been additional cargo flights that have had a military component to them.
Is it because Eielson is too busy, or?
It just varies. It depends on some of the cargo aircraft. It's just easier for them to come to Fairbanks. We're set up to handle them. And other times, Eielson might be busy. They might be having other activities or training out there. Their runway is going to be shut down for a few weeks this summer while they do some work out there. So there's a variety of reasons.
There's a big difference between being set up for a military operation and a cargo operation.
Absolutely.
A big difference.
Okay, so we do have American families landing at our airports and not illegal immigrants, right?
No, we have not had any international flights or anyone that's been clearing customs or flights of that nature.
Like flights from Texas to Fairbanks?
No.
Okay, just wondering.
Yep.
Thank you for the phone call, Melanie. And Fairbanks, we're going to take a commercial break. We'll be back after these messages.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
As we get ready for summer, it's time to take a look at our equipment. It's probably time for an upgrade, and that means a trip to Craig Taylor Equipment. Their line of John Deere riding mowers is impressive. From those small weekly chores to commercial landscaping, Craig Taylor has the John Deere riding mower you need. Right now, Craig Taylor Equipment is giving you a free steel trimmer when you order a riding mower, and every purchase is backed with superior service. See Craig Taylor Equipment today on South Cushman near Van Horn.
Urinary issues can be stressful. It can feel embarrassing to deal with. Frequency, urgency, dribbling, leakage, traveling becomes frustrating. My name is Dr. Tony Nima. I'm a urologist at Fairbanks Urology. I want to help my patients get the best care and give them access to the latest procedures with the least amount of side effects. I love being someone that people can count on. It gives meaning to my career and makes every day feel like I'm with family.
Find them at FairbanksUrology.com.
Weather brought to you by The Woodway, your steel outdoor power equipment dealer for Interior Alaska. See the full line of steel products at The Woodway today. The Alaskan way. The right way. The Woodway.
KFAR weather.
Ample sunshine expected today with daytime highs approaching 69. Winds out of the south around 5 miles per hour. Lows dip down to about 47 tonight, mainly cloudy skies. 69 tomorrow, overcast. Mid-60s Thursday, upper 50s Friday with a chance for scattered rain showers. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Laura Lockwood.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. I have from Anchorage, the International Airport, Craig Campbell from Fairbanks, who runs the International Airport, Angie Spears. Thank you both very much for being here. Very good consortium of how you two work together. And like you say, you have an airport system that operates out of two locations. Two different ways of what you function, but a lot of commonalities and a lot of similarities that are very, very good to view. When you look at that, do you often call each other up and say, God, I just saw this, what did I learn?
We're constantly sharing information back. Sometimes we're commiserating on a new federal law or mandate that's unfunded, or just sharing our challenges, supporting one another through them. We're sharing our successes as well.
What I got to tell you, though, David, is I've only been doing this job for 14 months, so I am so appreciative of Angie, because I'll see an email pop up, and mm-hmm. It'll be from her, and it'll be something I'd never saw or thought about, and it'll be really critical. And so she's almost like the person that's helping guide me through some of the challenging issues that I was unaware were percolating inside the system. So I very much appreciated that system does work with a person like her running Fairbanks.
Who do you guys answer to? Is there a transportation department, DOT, anything in there?
So we're under DOT, and DOT has a commissioner, but our direct supervisor is the Deputy Commissioner of Aviation, John Bender.
Okay. How's working with John?
John's great. John has been a wonderful boss and mentor. I've worked for him for many years now. And yeah, he's been incredibly wonderful. He's supportive. He also oversees statewide aviation, which is huge. So
yeah, how many airports we got statewide?
About 266 or so.
Yeah, exactly.
And there are others that aren't run by the state, you know, the Palmers and the Ketchikans and the Junos. You know, there's a handful of Kenai. There's a handful of those that aren't run by the state. So we're close to 300 airports.
What are they doing in Palmer?
What are they having to be an airport there?
Yeah, are they bringing in jets yet? Or?
Well, Raven has a maintenance center at Palmer. And so okay. They do a lot of the Dash 8 work up there in Palmer. And they also have some BLM stuff and fire retardant work that they do for the interior area.
Hmm. That makes sense. What the heck? Lots of space and easy accessible.
Yep.
Ready for a phone call? Good morning. You're on KFAR Radio, and your name is?
Randy.
Hello, Randy.
Hi, you may have already talked about this earlier in the show when I wasn't listening, but unable to listen. But I was curious, you know, the budget just came out, the state budget, and I just wondered, was there enough money for all of the airport needs? And then also I noted that one late amendment was to add some money to lengthen the airport at Wasilla, which maybe perhaps is just a city airport, or maybe that's not even in your area.
So, yes, the final budget amendments did come out, and that was where Fairbanks' mission critical incentive pay was in, and we definitely did have the funds that we need to meet our mission currently.
You make an interesting observation about Wasilla, because that is also a city-run airport. And actually, from the Anchorage area, the Wasilla Airport has great opportunity for expansion as our market increases over the next 20 years. So we're actually looking at the Wasilla Airport as a potential overflow airport for some activities in South Central Alaska. But it's not within our system right now. It's a city airport. The other thing I think it's really important, since you mentioned the budget, is that both Fairbanks and Anchorage are state-funded by the air carriers, not the government. So while we're state-owned airports, the carriers and the landowners and the concessionaires and all the general aviation pilots that pay for services, they're the ones that pay the bill for Anchorage and Fairbanks, not the state general fund.
Oh, interesting. Thank you. Appreciate that information.
Thank you, Randy. You have a good day. That's a good piece of information to put out there. You're self-financed.
Yes, we are.
How much do you put back into the general fund?
Now that's a reverse question.
I know. Yeah,
no.
That's what you'd expect from mayor. How much can I get from you?
That typically, yeah, you are a bureaucrat. You fit in well now, David. Yeah, so we do not contribute back in cash. What we do is try to work with Commerce and others on economic development that takes the two airports and provides economic activities that can bring value to Alaska. So some of the land that we're going to be developing down in the Anchorage Airport is specifically to expand not just the airlines themselves, but warehousing, transshipment, the stuff that would give us a local economy boost.
Okay.
Correct. We're economic engines for the communities that we're in.
Yes, you are. Now, when the fire season gets going, do you handle any of that at your location, Angie, or is that out at Fort Wainwright?
So the vast majority is at Fort Wainwright, but we do see activity at our airport. Obviously, you'll see the water scoopers coming through and getting water. We'll see some landings. And then as BLM and DNR work towards their respective projects at our airport, you're going to see a lot more, I would say, over the next 5 to 7 years.
I would think so. You know, DNR, they're so close, they're expanding on your system already. So what the heck?
Exactly. We're pretty excited to see those activities there. They make more sense to be at FAI than they do to be on post. So,
you know, Craig, a caller asked about the military aircraft coming in. Do you get many around you? You have.
We do.
Okay.
Yeah, we get the same like Angie gets in Fairbanks. A lot of the transit cargo aircraft, sometimes the C-17s, sometimes charter aircraft, they'll come through sometimes with passengers, sometimes with freight. So you can usually see one or two military planes a day going through Anchorage.
Okay. Now, you also probably bring in some, I wouldn't say refugees, but some foreign workers through your airport. You know, I'm sure Condor brings them over. You know, I know Jay Ramres, he out at Pike's Waterfront Lodge, he tries to compete for the good workers. I know Bernie Carl does it too. But when they're coming over, it's fully documented. It's just not someone being dropped off and dumped off.
Yeah. To be clear, they are all fully documented. They're vetted through customs. And I would say both Jay and Bernie are tremendous employers to those looking to come to work in Alaska or work in the United States. And last summer, we saw Bernie bring several people over from Ukraine that were working at his facilities. And so it was really wonderful. And his whole team came out to meet and greet them because they were coming from some pretty terrible circumstances.
Yeah. That's Bernie.
Big heart.
Yeah. Excuse me. I'm getting through this, Fairbanks. I'm getting through this. Ugh. It sucks. Ask me how I really feel, Craig.
I think you just told us.
Yeah. Oh, boy. With the two airports there, is there anything that you don't do that you would like to do, that you're looking at doing?
Yeah, we're working really well together. I think what we'd like to have and what we're kind of focusing on is, as we were talking about the unity together between two airports, is have some flexibility and capabilities to be able to manage that so that we can optimize the workforce, optimize the rates and fees, and do it as more of a team externally as well.
Okay.
And I would say from my end, I completely concur with Craig, and the second thing I'm looking at is, as I look to expand international service, I would like scheduled service, not just charters, and Fairbanks can't always sustain a scheduled flight from Asia on our own, and so I'm looking at opportunities to tag with Anchorage, just like the Condor service, where, you know, maybe the flight goes into Anchorage, drops off some passengers there that maybe want to go to Anchorage, then comes on to Fairbanks, brings us passengers, and picks up passengers from both of our communities. So I'm always looking at ways to connect that marketing effort, whereas maybe I don't quite have the case on my own, but together we can make it work.
Do you often get on the phone and tell stories about float planes?
Well, I was not used to that when I took the job, but last year we must have had two or three flipping the hood, and we've already had one this year. So I'm realizing
that flipping hood.
That's another whole thing to deal with.
Angie?
So I didn't have any aircraft flip and on the float pond, but we do typically share stories about GA and some of the challenges and trying to, you know, meet all of the needs, right, of all the users. And sometimes they differ widely and even conflict with one another. And so, yeah, we get some funny stories for sure.
Oh, goodness. You know, my brother Dana used to have this hangar out on the east ramp right next to where the tower is. And I told him not to buy this thing, and the jerk bought it. So it was all on me to, you know, it took me 2 years to get this thing redeveloped, remodeled, and make it a cash flow thing, and finally get it there. And so one Friday afternoon, it's like 5 o'clock, I'm driving out. This hit the speeding up going to the Richardson Highway, go out to North Pole. Friday, I've got a 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock appointment out, you know, still working, real estate broker. And I get this phone call from your dispatch people. I go, what the heck? How do they got my cell phone number, you know? And they said, there's been a plane crash at your hangar. And I said, okay. Was it an aerial crash or was it a taxi runway crash? I don't know. So I'm immediately getting off on an off-ramp. I'm starting to break every law known to the Fairbanks Police Department in getting out there quickly. And I'm keeping my eyes on the horizon, and I'm not seeing any fires coming up. I'm not seeing anything. So I get to the intersection of Airport and University, and I break a law there, and I'm screaming down University Avenue. And I pull up to the building, and there's one guy, and he looks like a pilot, and 30 people in line to talk to him. I'm going, oh, my God, this poor guy. And he had a 180, and the nose is through one of the hangar doors. It was like, oh, my God. So anyway, that's my East Ramp story.
Sure is.
We got about a minute left. Angie, how do you want to end it?
So I would just like to take a minute to, let the community know that we are definitely out there. We listen. So reach out, call if you want a tour of the airport. If you have questions, reach out to us. We're working together. We're working really hard to expand service into Fairbanks and to make sure that we're meeting the community's needs and our general aviation facility is safe and efficient and has all of the things for our general aviation pilots as well.
Craig, how do you want to end it?
I think I'll end it by thanking you, David, for allowing us the time today to, as Angie and I come together to explain to the community how we work, how the system works, and the benefits to the state of Alaska. It's been a good time. Thanks.
Thank you both for coming up here. This has been a special one for me. You guys have a great day in Fairbanks. I will see you tomorrow.